Mark Burnett pretty much invented reality TV as we know it.
I'm a redneck, and I don't know corporate world at all. And corporate world ain't going to work out here in the push.
No, and I'm not talking corporate world. I'm talking creating a team.
He made huge hits out of Survivor, The Voice, The Apprentice.
You're fired.
But his latest big show, and a surprise success last year, was something else entirely. A 10-hour miniseries called The Bible. Now Burnett and his wife Roma Downey have carved a feature film out of that series called Son of God. It's the first real biblical epic in a couple of generations, and last weekend it opened strong, taking in more than $26 million at the box office.
The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us.
Son.
That was the biggest show of the year, 2013. One of Roma's favorite headlines was CNN that said, God beats zombies in reference to Walking Dead.
Yeah. And it is that large. It was as big a hit.
It was, and in Canada, the Bible beat hockey.
My God, that sounds blasphemous. I'm wondering about, as a film, as a two-hour-plus film, what your models were or the precedents that were influential?
Well, certainly, I think as children, we saw all the oldies, all the old sandals and donkeys movies of the past. We know that Jesus had not been on the big screen for almost 10 years to the weekend since Passion of the Christ opened.
The Mel Gibson movie.
And it's been almost 50 years since The Greatest Story Ever Told, which really was the last time the life of Christ played out in the whole journey of his life. So we felt that there's a whole new generation here that will want to see this story on the big screen.
You mentioned The Passion of the Christ. Given that that was the last big and hugely successful film about Jesus that came out, did you say, okay, it went wrong here and here and here, and we're going to do this differently in such and such a way?
Well, I think that the difference, obviously, that movie dealt with just 3 days at the end of Jesus' life, and we wanted here to present the grand narrative of his life.
And given that it is the New Testament, which gets into more particular doctrinal issues and things than the Bible in general, is there a particular denomination or church that guides your faith?
We actually worked on this, by the way, across the Catholic Church with Cardinal Worrell from the Archdiocese of Washington, D.C., Archbishop Gomez, and then on the evangelical side with Rick Warren and Joel Osteen, Bishop Jakes. So we've been across all denominations.
So as you were talking to Roman Catholics and the evangelical Christians, and I presume people in between, did you ever get notes like, maybe not? Or did any Jewish groups say, you make the Jews look pretty bad here? Did you get any negative criticism?
No. Well, first of all, we got lots of notes back over a 4-year period. On the Jewish side, we worked with the Anti-Defamation League, Abraham Foxman, very closely, and really understood what were the moments of sensitivity. And by the way, I'll tell you, Abraham Foxman knows the Gospels really, really well in a scholarly way. And so things that we did, which were just obvious to do, as John opens the movie Son of God, some of his first lines are about our Jewish nation.
Right. He's the narrator.
Under Roman occupation. Jesus is mainly referred to as rabbi or teacher. It's very clear there are no Christians. There's Jews and there's Romans. You know, we were so gratified by the notes and really took action.
Huh.
And so, you know, we got a written endorsement from Abe Foxman.
Just yesterday, Mr. Foxman issued a statement saying that he felt Son of God had been very sensitively told, and he thought that the movie would bring about a great healing after, you know, what he says was the damage done by Passion of the Christ.
Let's listen to a clip from Your Son of God, where Jesus performs one of his most well-known miracles, the one involving loaves and fishes.
Our Father in heaven feeds the birds of the air. How much more will he give to you? First, and everything else will follow. If you hunger for righteousness, you will be filled through me.
That's Diogo Morgado as Jesus in the movie Son of God. You seem to have gone to great lengths to achieve authenticity in the production design. What do I know? I wasn't there 2,000 years ago, but it looks pretty great. Jesus' followers and all the non-Romans and citizens around are Middle Eastern looking. They're dark-skinned and dark-haired. Jesus, this actor Morgado, is sort of light-haired, fair-skinned, European-looking. Why make that casting choice?
We were just a few weeks away from beginning filming, and we had not yet cast the role of Jesus. And to say that we were nervous would be an understatement.
That's an important role.
It was going to be the most important piece of casting, obviously, for the movie, maybe of our whole careers. We knew that we wanted an actor that would have physical strength, presence and charisma on screen, but also that could portray a tenderness and a kindness. And we looked at hundreds of actors, and through a series of amazing coincidences, we discovered Diogo Morgado. He's Portuguese, so I think he possibly might be the first Latin Jesus on the big screen. His performance is absolutely beautiful.
Well, I'm interested also in your own faith, though, if I can get more presumptuous, I guess. And where, for instance, on the spectrum of every word in the Bible is literally factually true to, yeah, some of it is and some of it's allegorical and some of it's mythic. Where do you guys fall on that spectrum?
Oh, no, it's true. We don't think it's allegorical at all.
The universe and earth and man created in 6 days, and we mean 6 earth days and all.
No, it's our faith.
Huh.
And you?
No, I don't believe that, certainly.
Oh. But okay.
Have you always been such literalists about the Bible and your faith?
I'm born and raised Catholic in Northern Ireland, was educated by the Sisters of Mercy, or as we jokingly used to refer to them as the Sisters of No Mercy. My oldest brother is a priest, and I have, enjoyed and loved my walk with the Lord all these years. And I think that the success of the Bible series speaks more to a hunger for hope and a hunger for connection to God that we have. I think that so many things are thrown at us on any given day, particularly being here in the city, billboards and stimulus and, you know, commercials and noise and all of the things that come at us in any given moment. You know,
hey, Los Angeles is just as Sodom and Gomorrah is New York.
No, everywhere is. No, I'm not, I have no judgment of it. I'm just saying that it's noisy.
Yeah.
And in the noisiness, sometimes we don't hear, you know, the still quiet places within that connect us to the grander sweep of God, of the God that I think we all are looking for.
Well, that's interesting, because I was going to ask you about, here you are, these very out Christians in Hollywood, a place not known for its pious Christianity, frankly, show business run by non-believers. Is it ever awkward for you to be like, we're these
pious? Is it? I don't know. Pious seems to me like it has a sort of self-righteous quality.
Okay,
to
choose your
and I,
word.
You know, we are imperfect people. We're just doing the best we can.
Sure,
you know? We're noisy Christians.
Exactly.
Yes, we are very.
And so,
noisy.
Does that ever like keep it on the down low?
The opposite, in fact. We, you know, are very close friends with people across faiths. Many people come to our house, and there's been some fantastically well-discussed dinner parties at our house, you know, every few weeks. We always bless the food, and people of all faiths respect that as we do them.
So you have this huge body of enormously successful television work, including Survivor, The Voice, The Apprentice, Sarah Palin's Alaska, more. But it seems like Son of God has been this more personal project. Does that mean you're prouder of this movie than anything else you've done?
I don't know if proud is the right word, but certainly enjoyed this process and enjoy the reception we've had to the movie. But, you know, I've had lots of fun. I mean, like, it's like with Roma, got to believe, touched by an angel. I mean, 10 years, the number one show on TV, it's a huge experience. Survivor, that first summer of Survivor, 72 million people turned into the finale. The most people that had watched television in the summer since Sonny and Cher in 73 or something like that.
Really?
Yes. Yeah, that's true. I've never said that to you before, but that's a true fact. And then The Voice. How many people you think told me I was an idiot and that why would you make a music show when American Idol is so dominant? And by the way, Mark, what makes Idol work is the humiliation factor. You don't have a humiliation factor.
You have no Simon Cowell on The Voice.
And yet, what is the massive hit on television for music shows? The Voice. So I like to do things that I want to do, and I don't even hear other people telling me their opinions of what they think, because I just think you should go do it yourself.
Well, it's interesting. As I was thinking about, okay, what is similar? What draws all of your work together? Obviously, the, as you call it, unscripted drama, the reality shows, as most people call them, are of a kind. But then I thought, oh, no, how those are also like the Bible and Son of God is you do things fearlessly, and you do them, and they work.
Another commonality, I guess, from this movie Son of God and all of our other work between Roma's Touched by an Angel and my shows, they're all family-friendly. We have big audiences, but I think what the message here is, family-friendly really works if you want big audiences. NFL is family-friendly. It's the most watched thing in America.
Hugely violent, but yes, family-friendly.
It's a sport.
Well, we managed to get a PG-13 rating for Son of God because we are hoping and encouraging families to come together to experience the film.
I do want to talk about the values that are celebrated in your television programs. I mean, The Apprentice celebrates a certain worldly competition, and the winner has to be shrewd, sometimes to the point of dishonesty. Richard, the winner on the first season of Survivor, was a jerk.
But here's the interesting thing. He never lied to anybody.
Right.
So
he tricked them, but he didn't lie.
Didn't lie to them. And that's actually how he won. Because Survivor is a very moral game. You can manipulate your way to near the end in most endeavors in life. But you won't win when you're relying upon other people. Survivor, you get that $1 million given to you by the very people that you eliminated. You have to stand there in front of a jury of people that you have eliminated.
Yeah.
How you did that, not the fact that you did it, it's a game. Everyone gets a game. They don't mind you being clever, but it's outright lying to them and betraying them. People tend to never, ever win. So there's a big moral play in that. An Apprentice, I mean, for the last 5 years, it's raised maybe $100 million for charity.
Right.
So
even though Donald Trump is about the most un-Jesus Christ-like human I can imagine.
Donald's mum, Scottish mum.
Well, that's
very
extreme.
Very Christian.
I mean, I believe I'm a great lover of Jesus' teachings. And Donald, I'm sorry, he's the opposite.
He's been a good friend to our family.
We don't judge people. And he has been very honest and reliable to us. And it's a big charity show.
So I understand you are now working on another Sandals and Donkeys series, this one for NBC, about what, early Christians?
Sandals and donkeys.
No, Your wife's phrase.
She said we don't do sandals and donkeys. That's the old style.
Okay.
I would say, yes, but we are. Yeah, we're doing AD. Great storyline. If you think of it, in that first couple of decades after the crucifixion, must have been the most tumultuous time in history as Judea came apart. If you have to give a log line, maybe how did 12 guys take down Rome? Because there was 12 apostles, obviously.
How interesting. So you really are proving that explicitly religious programming can work in the mass media in America.
Yeah. Well, I think it was back to that there is a hunger for it, you know. It's a great story filled with drama and intrigue and all the ingredients that make up a good program.
And with this, you didn't have to pay, you know, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John aren't members of the Writers Guild, so you didn't have to cover that. Mark Burnett and Roma Downey, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Son of God is in theaters now.